Hi everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Conspicuous Podcast. I'm Steve Cranston, and my Twitter is at Lilac Films, and I'm here as usual with Stuart Walton. Stuart.
Hi everybody, it's good to be back again. Thank you, Steve, for letting me come along and talk once again on the Conspicuous Podcast, all things to help small businesses here in Staffordshire and the wider, you know, West Midlands and beyond. You know, all the issues that concern us, marketing, you know, trying to keep ourselves on track. And you can find me on my Twitter handle, ConspicuousCBN, and we look forward to people telling us all about some of the stuff we talked about in previous shows. And obviously we're available on iTunes. Please subscribe and leave us a very positive, glowing 5-star review. Steve is clearly a creative person, loves only positive praise, and I also have a very fragile ego as well.
Thank you for clarifying that, Stuart. So today's episode is, can you run a business with your husband or wife or significant other? I'm quite looking forward to discussing this one, actually, because it's a hot topic. And I think, to clarify, we're talking about a significant other. We're not talking about father-son, mother-daughter, sort of business relationships thing.
Slightly different. We can talk about that thing, but it's not.
We're talking purely in the circumstance where this is your partner that you're in business with. And I'm going to go straight out on a limb there and say, no, you can't. Yeah. I think... Well, go on, Stuart. You tell me your view.
I tend to agree. I mean, the reason is a topic is because, you know, Steve and I obviously, you know, see a lot of businesses around through networking and general sort of meeting of people. And, you know, small businesses are inherently, you know, start off, you know, in the home. There's an aspect about the home. And we can talk about, you know, what, you know, just beyond, you know, is it just about doing business thing? You know, you know, getting the support of your spouse or your significant other to go on this lonely journey of working for yourself. So we can touch upon that. But I mean, my view is, I think it's clearly there are exceptions to the rule. This is not there's no 100% of anything in this life. But working in business with your wife, husband, significant other is probably, in the long run, a big mistake. And too many times we'll see this lead to marriage breakdowns, dissolution of the business, and it's a very, very painful process. And I don't, and businesses that don't succeed are often, one of the root causes of thousands of wives involved is, you know, it's that relationship, because they can't actually tell each other off. And then they take all that pain and tension back into the home, and then, you know, that's it. There's no respite and from work at home. And of course, that's when it all inevitably leads to unhappiness and divorce and sadness.
So why do you think people go in for that? I mean, I'll tell you why I think people go in for the husband and wife relationship. I think there's a certain aspect of comforting, knowing that someone that cares for you is there to protect you in your business as well. Because starting a business is scary, especially when you know you're risking shared finances and shared assets. And if it's a joint risk, there's less of a risk between the two of you because you're both invested in it that way. Whereas if you're going on your own...
Well, looking the other way around, you know, if both people are drawing income from the same venture, that's also... probably
huge risk. Absolutely huge risk.
And not the most sensible sort of financial strategy, or we use that term in the broadest thing. I think a lot of it starts to, because people and here I think, you know, just making sure it's people decide to start their own business, and so unless they started their business, you know, straight out of university, they're footloose and fancy free, but your case, but to some extent. I mean, I was married when when the circumstances said, start your own business, and I invested in a franchise and think, and in a sense, who do you talk to? You don't always have somebody to do. My father, was no longer with me. I couldn't talk to him about the decision, what would be his wife. I mean, he'd been successful in business and had a career, none of my members of family were in business. They're all, either working in the medical profession or in farming or stuff like that. I don't really have any, my closest, business, buddies and things like that, all scattered around the globe. So, you talk to your wife and I love my wife dearly. But clearly that was part of the discussion, things. But I think it's important, if you're going to start your own business, and you have both been in the world of work, as I was saying, drawing a salary from a third-party enterprise, you know, if somebody decides they're going to start their own business, they, you know, the other party, the other half, the wife, the husband, the significant other has got to be fully on board. It can be no half measures or, yeah, okay, dear, we'll see, you know, if you really want to do it. They've got to be fully committed. And I think part of that commitment process draws the other person into the business as an inevitable consequence, in a sense of proof of support. Everybody gets sort of wrapped up in the excitement, and that's how husband and wives and whatever get sort of drawn into it, not necessarily thinking through the financial consequences or the emotional consequences or even the sort of, is this the best way for business? Because, if who's in charge?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it? Who's in charge in there as well? Because, of course, when it's a shared business where it's probably the two of you starting together, no employees to worry about at this stage, you're both equal, and that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Who's responsible for the business and making the overall decision about things for it?
In my view, there can be, you know, there has to be somebody, you know, the buck stops somewhere, and, you know, call him, you know, chief executive officer, if you want a fancy title, managing director, you know, the owner, whatever you call that title, somebody has to take financial responsibility. And, you know, if you are, you know, one half of the familial partnership and you're having to tell the other half, you know, to buck up their ideas and, you know, get with the program and work harder or be, you know, stop mucking around, you know, that's a very tough statement to have, you know, a discussion to have. I mean, I'm not sure I could have it. I don't know about you, Steve, but I would say that is, you know, that's not a discussion I would like to have with my wife or her with me, you know. So best to avoid it is my view. And, you know, work solo, obviously make sure there's support and build your team up that way, you know, because, you know, and also as a company gets bigger, you know, you start taking on employees, you know, who's the boss, who's in charge?
Who's answerable to?
And employees can all play each other, you know, both ends, you know, both sides against each other, you know, because, you know, people are people, you know, and it's a bit like kids, you know, mum, you know, dad's, you know, and, you know, oh, why should dad, and, you know, that's, that employees can, I've seen it happen, employees, you know, will treat, you know, husband and wife team as, you know, as like mum and dad, and, you know, and inevitable problems will arise. It's not good.
No, and I think this is where I'd like to discuss, because I think it can work when you've got an established business that one of the partners has set up, and you then see an opportunity where you can use their skills within the business. But there's not the battle of they're coming into it feeling like they have equal footing on there. They're coming into it because there's a need for their skills, and also they've seen that you've set it up, so it's not a mutually shared venture at this point. It's something that you're both working towards the same goal, but you've got different roles in it.
Yeah.
That there's a hierarchy in place there. The question comes when you've got no hierarchy in there.
You've not really got defined job structures or roles, everybody's doing everything.
But you find a bit of success, you win that first big contract, and then you have the problem where you start talking about staff, and like you say, they play you off against one another for that. But then how do you leave as well? How do you go home to one another and not talk business?
And business is not, both you and I know, Steve, it's not straight for saying there's lots of problems, you know. How do you cope with the down times? How do you not take that stress home? It strikes me, you know, I found that very hard, you know. Mrs. Walton was involved for a bit, you know. By accident, she got involved in helping to run the groups, got a bit more involved, and, you know, at the end, it was just like, it became a very hard discussion, and, you know, the best decision was to say, you know, go find employment somewhere else. You know, she was happier, I was happier, because it was, you know, I felt less risk for the business, less thing. And, you know, I found that, because I even in that situation, I found people were telling me stuff, you know, saying, oh, or using Michelle as a sort of conduit to trying to get to me to make a decision. And I was going, hang on here, this is, you know, they're just trying it on.
We've both got partners that are quite opposite to us. I mean, it's probably more prominently with yourself, mm-hmm. where Michelle's a much softer touch, and in some respects,
she would get very, she would see situations in a very sort of black and white term, and I'd say, well, maybe we should look at the sort of grey thing. So in a sense, you know, in such a marriage, you know, nobody's always the same, it's different personalities, and, you know, I've been in a sort of world of commerce and industry. Michelle had come in, you know, until we got married in sort of National Health Service as a nurse. you know, different sets of experiences, you know, and I'll go back to your point. Yes, if you run a business and say your wife comes in and, you know, she might have done admin in the past and helps out with admin and vice versa, or husband, I've seen that, you know, as well as wife's created a business and the husband has helped, you know, because he, you know, he's an accountant doing the books and stuff like that, you know, great. That, but at the end of the day, it was clear in those circumstances who was in charge of the business. That person was really just helping out. Because, you know, it was probably the right stage, they needed something to do and stuff like that. But just starting a business together, yes, there are exceptions to the rule. There are success stories, but inevitably it just leads to tears. I mean, I met a consultant just recently, you know, and, you know, he's given me his life story, and him and his wife got into, you know, she got into business by accident with somebody else. He got involved, you know, inevitably 2 or 3 years later, divorces. We couldn't cope, different personalities. We took all the problems home, you know, and, you know, just argued all the time.
Well, I think there's another scenario here. So as we talked about the one where you're both on equal footage, you're both struggling for that power of the business fall and battling against that. There is, of course, the one where one person is the natural leader in the relationship and becomes the natural leader of the business.
Yeah.
And you've got the other partner that essentially falls into a role of working for that person.
Yeah.
So they're...
And you think, you know, is that really the right thing to do? You know, because, you know, that's just... that's probably not the most healthy relationship as well, you know, so, you know.
And it becomes almost like a parent-child relationship, yes, indeed, and it becomes, they have to be monitored by that person at work, and they realise that, that they're not given the same responsibilities for. The other person is maybe more confident, maybe more outgoing than them, and is going like a ball through a china shop, sort of like at it, and they're kind of just following behind tentatively.
Yeah.
But the problem comes when that person decides to rebel
I see examples as well where the other half is clearly not pulling their weight. They're sort of coming in, being a disruptive influence, so let's put it that way. And you know, the person who is the nominal person in charge doesn't know how to discipline it, because he thinks, if I tackle, you know, my husband, my wife, you know, this is going to erupt into a massive confrontation. I'm just going to avoid the issue. And I would probably be joining their camp, you know, because everybody says, oh, Stuart, you're very forthright. Yeah, yes, I am. If I feel there's a genuine reason, but I ain't going to pick a fight just for the sake of it. And I can understand when somebody says, I just can't deal with this problem because it's just going to erupt. It's going to go at home, and I'm just going to go for the easy life. But it's clearly not helping the business progress in the way it should be progressing. You see a lot of businesses, yes, they succeed, yes, they carry on, but they're not progressing the way you want because, the wife or husband is sort of an impediment to success and growth. And you could say that for a lot of people, but it's very difficult to get to sack a wife or a husband, you know.
We've seen it done.
Usually it's some, you know, last minute resort. And so, you know, and you can't, and you also, you can't, you know, how do you say to your wife or husband, you know, actually, just, you know, you're not very good at this at all, you know, perhaps you should just, you know.
You're fired, get out.
You know, I'm not having that conversation, I'm too scared. And it's tough, you know, we can talk about, you know, kids as well, you know, or children involved in business. It's very hard, you know, we've seen a number of businesses, you and I know, where you know, children are involved, and, you know, It's a very, you know, another complex sets of relationships are created, both amongst themselves, you know, the siblings between themselves, with the parent, with the other co-workers, how do we approach this, what's going on, who's in charge. It's very complex.
I think what you lose is you lose that the, almost that respect for that hierarchy, because you're going in with a different relationship where... I think it can work with father-son businesses and mother-daughter businesses and vice versa. It's a case that I think because you've had that hierarchical relationship growing up in that, you do have an element of that. What I think is missing though is that you haven't...
But obviously, you don't, modern parenting or versus traditional parenting, you know, standards aside, clearly you want that person to grow in the business. You can't, you know, be spoon feeding, you've got to let them grow in business, make mistakes. And
That is where the problem comes in, is that the parent-friendly relationship continues through that.
Mm.
But also you see the other effect where they haven't gone through the same struggles of starting the business from scratch that the parent may have. And they've come into what is most likely probably quite a successful business at that point. And I think we see it quite often where they don't necessarily have the same respect for the work that went into it. So their clients are treated in a different way. The staff often treated in a different way.
And I notice that. And also don't respect the people that have helped you know, the original parent in the sense of the workforce create that success. I noticed that, you know, with a gentleman I know through scouting, you know, and it's clearly, you know, he's now set himself up in business. Whereas before, a second generation, it was not, you know, the second generation owner was clearly, you know, I would say not in touch with how his behaviour would be perceived by the workforce or the employees, you know. And sometimes you think, you know, that's just not right, you know. And in a business where you know a large corporate business culture, which I've come from, you know, that would be completely, you know. Frowned upon, and people in fact would be ejected for that sort of behaviour. Clearly, family businesses, people can do what they like. It's a different set of standards. But you know, the inevitable is that people often don't articulate what they're not happy with. They'll vote with their feet, and that's clearly, you know, in the case of my acquaintance, you know, and they've lost a valuable asset, in my opinion. So because they're not paying attention to that, because the son is not. Yeah, it's just not got the common touch to put it in those terms.
Because they haven't earned it.
Exactly.
So let's take it then. So if any of the five people that listened to this podcast are in that situation, let's look at it like this then. Let's make a checklist of things that could possibly help the situation. So we've written it off as being a struggle, but there are things you can do to ease it. And clearly the big thing we mentioned is that having a hierarchy to the structure of society. Yeah. Who's in charge?
I think who's in charge. If the other person is not involved in the person in the business, make sure that they are supporting your business endeavor. If you have both been involved in the world of self-employment, somebody creating their own business is clearly not a mess, you know, because it's emotional aspect, you know, the steady salary to going to the risk of self-employment is clearly can upset many marital relationships or general relationships. So make sure I think step number one, if you're in that situation, you know, make sure you have the buying and proper support, and you know, take on board these people, you know, the other half's and concerns, you know, and you know, maybe in the past I've been guilty of not listening to what they've got to say, and you know, riding roughshod of emotions, because that will come back and hurt you in the end line. So I suppose make sure that the home life supports the business life.
You have to bring a bit more sensitivity to it, and a bit more tactfulness. Yeah. So. I think the other thing to look at as well is something that I've seen go one of two ways is when a third director comes into the business, where you have someone where you now have a democracy. So it's no longer, I want to do this, but I want to do that. You have a third person that comes in there.
Who might have a professional background, who might have a big company background, who might have a certain, you know, expectation of how things are going to be done. And if you fail to meet them or fail to change your behaviour, that's going to be very damaging.
And it also forces you to act professionally in every situation that you're in, where you may sort of like bicker over something. Having a third person there that is not your husband or wife is clearly going to be someone that you're going to behave
and
more
people don't always want to play referee, you know, in these things, you know, that's not...
I think being the third person is a tough thing to go into for that, but I mean, I'd love to hear from someone that's done that successfully, but I'm certain that could be... almost it will make or break it. It's a case that it will either be one partner getting fed up that they're being the other person is being sided with, or be a case that they respect the democracy and they can accept that, well, we're all equal shareholders now of this, we can have this democracy, and we go with whatever the majority decides.
And I think if you're going to involve, you know, if you're going to go into business together, you've got to, you know, be clear as to what each party is bringing to the process, you know, which we do in any partnership that you're going to. What is this the other person bringing into this business? Am I valuing this? Is this important? You know, is the chemistry? You know, clearly people, you know, let's assume the traditional family unit, and you got married, you're growing a relationship. Clearly, you're doing this because you've got on with that person. That necessarily translates itself to working together. And so, if you're going to do that, am I respecting this person? Do I value their professional input? Do I respect their business acumen? Do I think they've got something to bring to the party? These, in a sense, the hiring decision has got to be the same for them as it would be for anybody else.
And actually, I think it's also worth looking more critically at the skills that that you think one another perceive as well, because we've seen this in networking where one partner has been sent to do the networking because either they've decided that they've got the skills to do it,
yeah,
or they've been told by their partner that they've got the skills to do it. But the reality is that
they don't have the skills.
They don't have the skills to do it, and actually, the other partner just doesn't want to do it, but is probably the best person to do it because. Yeah. They get the side of things that what they're looking for within the sales. The other person may be much more practical, and that's been perceived. Well, they understand how everything's done in the business, but they may not be able to sell it as well.
Yeah, you know, we've seen examples where Lady Evan Stoke, as a roofing contractor, she got involved in the sort of networking thing because the husband was doing the work, but was very good at portraying the business, organizing stuff, and very good at handing off, the opportunity to the husband to price and to deliver, and it worked very well, and they clearly that was a good relationship because in a sense but to be fair, she had previously experience running her own business and brought those skills to the husband's business, and where he was lacking, she sort of complemented it all in. So success was at hand.
That's right. But again, it's thinking things like, well, my husband's always on Facebook, so he's gonna be great at social media. Doesn't mean he's gonna be great at social media. Everything needs to be looked at critically, and I think. As importantly with any business, you need to get outside reviews. You need to get someone that's, that can mentor the two of you and have you look critically. I mean, that may be the alternative to a third intermediary before you bring on a third director. Have a mentor that sits between you, because I couldn't see any other way that it could work if you haven't got someone that is there to actually give some mediation in it. Because
you need some direction and maybe, to some tough feedback you may necessarily not want to hear, I'm sorry, this is the way you've got to do it, In all partnerships are hard, let's be honest, in any sense of the word, because, often people don't really... explain what the issue is. They can't really confront each other, and it is a very tough thing to do. But all the sort of big, large, sort of professional partnerships, which are the sort of the role model for these things. I worked for I trained with a firm of accountants called Arthur Anson's, and it was started by a gentleman called Mr. Arthur Anson in Chicago, and you knew who was boss, and he created that firm and his vision, and everybody who joined them, yes, they made partner, and so. Everything was done in we all remembered, back to his days in the 1920s, and so it's that vision of original founder took its way through into the partner structure into, well, these days, obviously, clearly massive corporations, but, there was no, there was no sort of like two or three people together. It was his vision from day one.
Yeah, there was a process to it, wasn't there, as well? And everyone understood the process that's in there as well.
And the culture was all laid defined by his vision of what he wanted to do.
So to follow on with this episode, I'd really personally like to have a discussion with someone else that has either been part of a husband wife business.
Yeah.
Whether either side would be great to hear.
Maybe you and I have just been too weak and and not seeing the benefits of all this. But
neither of us have lived it. I think we've both had our partners work within our business, but when I set Lilac Films up, Kate didn't have anything to do with it for the first 4 years, and it was only when. An opportunity arose for her to sort of like to help out with elements to it. Yeah. And even then it was tough. She was very good at what she did for it, but there was always the battle of, I'll work with you, but not for you. I'd be very, very sort of like, I'd be very cautious about the language I used around her for this. But it did work. She was able to sort of like get on with tasks and things like that. But it was realised that she worked in a very different way to me.
Yeah.
And also it helped that we never shared an office or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it meant that we could still come home to one another and actually sort of like have a life outside of work for that.
Plus she had she got her own small business to look after as well. She's not fully.
And that was kind of what sort of like, and what slowly sort of like stopped the involvement there in that is that she realised she had her own passion that she wanted to pursue for it, which was really positive. So I think I'd really like to hear from both sides, someone that has seen the worst of being in the husband and wife business and someone that's seen a great success from that and to talk to them, because I think it's something that many, many people out there will be considering, because the first person you think of when starting a business,
or the first person you're going to talk to
is either a close friend or someone that you're in a relationship with,
or a member of the family. And you know, and statistically, most businesses are started by people, you know, who are married and all have a significant, you know, relationship, you know, long term relationship. So that's how often it happens, because statistically that's how most small businesses are created. That's the circumstances of their creation. People from the world to work, new circumstances. You know, they've got, you know, family and small children. How did they cope?
Yeah, absolutely. How do you manage sort of like the arrangements when you both sort of like have, essentially you're sharing every responsibility in there, sharing running a business, running a family.
Yeah.
And that's tough. That is massively tough to do for all that. So if you're in that situation, if you're
a hero and we want to hear from you, you know, so tell us how you succeeded when many others failed.
So tweet us at, you can tweet myself at Lilac Films. You can tweet Stuart at Conspicuous CBM.
Obviously putting these things up on iTunes, where you can download and listen on your favorite Apple or other device. But obviously we're putting up blog posts, you know, leave us comments and write to us there, you know, and just let us know. LinkedIn, Facebook, wherever.
And we'll have a follow-up show where you can sit in and discuss it with us. And I'd love to be told I'm wrong on this as well. And hear actually and sort here, of like here, all the positives of why I should have done this from day one.
Indeed, and what the steps you should have taken, you know. But I'm a betting man, Steve. I don't think we're going to find somebody who's going to really convince us, you know, this is the way to go.
Well, there's a challenge. So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you on next Monday for next week's episode. And don't forget to subscribe. And please do leave us a review or a comment on iTunes.
5-star only for Steve, and obviously for me as well.
So watch our egos. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.